Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I am honored to be in the Western District with one of the greatest preachers in the world, Pastor Mark Morgan. And one of the greatest preachers in the world, Pastor Sam Emery. In one of the greatest districts in the world, the Western District of California. Amen. I give great honor to Brother Morgan, Brother Emery, the district board, and the board of the men's department here in Western District. And we honor all of you in your respective places. Honor all our pastors. Clap your hands for every pastor. And I don't know why anybody would want to preach in the same pulpit that Sam Emery preaches in. If Sam Emery is the head of the men's department, why not just have him preach every year? It'll save you money. And you're going to have great revival. I know Bishop Mullins will back me up on this. I'm telling you, we're going to have great revival. And then, it's very intimidating to preach anywhere Dr. Hughes is preaching. And we honor Dr. Hughes today. We do. It's intimidating because you can try to sound profound and he'll just come preach something, just a little something, something, and completely reduce you to shreds. And so you're wondering the whole time you're preaching, is he dissecting what I'm saying? The good thing is I'm preaching last, praise God. So after he finishes tomorrow, I can act smart off of his notes tomorrow night. Praise God. The Lord's been putting something in my spirit here, and there's a couple of things I want to talk about. I don't know how I'm going to tie them all together. I'm going to try to do it. In Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 15. What a wonderful music team and praise team. They came here to worship tonight, and we thank God for them. If I could sing like that last cat a while ago, CLC graduate, you know. Boy, he was screaming that last deal. That saxophone player. I didn't know Kenny G got the Holy Ghost here. Got a haircut and everything, just apostolic. Matthew chapter 15. Verse 15. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are you also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draw? For those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. I want you to turn also very quickly to the book of Mark. Probably here in a parallel scripture, if you will, where he makes the list a little bit more extensive in Mark chapter 7, verse 20 to 23. Mark 7, verse 20 to 23. I didn't even give that to the team back there. God bless y'all for being so quick. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. I'm going to preach a very simple subject, and I won't be long tonight because they sang so long that it's so late. My bishop said if they sing till midnight, we'll preach till daylight. But I'm going to preach about the things that defile a man. The things that defile a man. Do me a favor. Amen. Would you lift your hands to heaven? And I want you just to begin to call on God with a loud voice tonight. Ask God to have his way. Jesus, we need you. Lord, we have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in our ability. No confidence in talent. Lord God, we have confidence in your word. We have confidence in your spirit. We have confidence in your blood. We have confidence in your name. Jesus, we exalt your name and your word. You've exalted above all your name. Have your way tonight. Save, deliver, heal, sanctify, set free. We bind every devil that would stand against the word and work of Almighty God. In Jesus' name, we forbid the enemy to operate. We loose the power of the Holy Ghost to take full control of this atmosphere now. Have your way. Get the glory. Get the honor and get the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, somebody ought to say amen. Shake about two or three hands one more time and tell your neighbor, left to myself, I'm a mess. Just tell him, left to myself, I'm a mess. The Lord bless you. You may be seated in the presence of God. I would like to think that I'm a good person. This is a deception that most of us would like to believe. I'm a good person. You ask people sometimes, they'll tell you, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. But scripture doesn't really connect with that as an idea. And let me just throw a disclaimer out now before I say anything else. I'm not a Calvinist. I don't believe in Calvinism as a doctrine. I'm very much an exponent of freedom of choice. I believe you have a choice. I really do. Now y'all scholars can take me on later and, you know, we got all the Bible school folks here, and y'all can fix this after I'm gone. But I believe we have a choice. However, you know, Calvin had a doctrine. His doctrine really based on five principles, and you can remember them by remembering TULIP, T-U-L-I-P. His idea is that mankind, number one, is totally depraved. So he believes in the total depravity of man. He believed in unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and the perseverance of the saints. While I don't believe then in this business of once saved, always saved, because reduced to its common denominator, that's what it is. That, well, you are saved and some folks are just designed for hell and some folks are designed for heaven and it is what it is. I don't believe that. And I can't really explain all of that within the context of the sovereignty of God, because in as much as I believe in freedom of choice, I believe that God is sovereign. I really do. I believe that God spake and it was done. He commands and it stands fast. I believe he is the omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, omnibenevolent God. I believe that he's big enough and bold enough and awesome enough to say something and do whatever he feels like. and that no one can stand in his way. That when God gets ready to make a move, the devil can't block it. You can't block it. The whole world can't block it, because God is God all by himself, and he always will be God. I believe. I do. But I believe Calvin got one thing right. He was right about the total depravity of man. We are totally depraved, save for the power of the blood of Jesus and the grace of God. Which is why when I come to church, I don't really care what you do. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. Because when I look back over my life, I can't speak for everybody else. Because some of you have been saved all your life. But as for me, if it had not been for the blood of Jesus that washed me and cleansed me and delivered me, I already know that I would have bust hell wide open. I believe there's a few men in this building that can testify that God brought you out of some mess through the power of the blood. And that's the reason why you shout and you dance and you clap and you sing, because you remember where God brought you from, and you know that had not been for the Lord who was on your side. I'm trying to behave. Amen. I'm trying to be a runway preacher instead of a helicopter preacher. But I feel like just stopping for a second and giving God the glory about what he did. I was on my way to destruction. I was tore up from the flow up. I was a mess. I was undone. I deserved hell. But somebody said, I went to a meeting one night and my heart wasn't right and something got a hold of me. Is there anybody glad about the name of Jesus? Is there anybody glad about the power of the blood? Is there anybody glad about the Holy Ghost? Ooh, I feel God here. That's why quiet church worries me. Because I wasn't raised in an apostolic church. I was raised an Anglican, Episcopalian for you folk up here, where anybody that made a noise in church, everybody turned around and looked as if you lost your mind. When I came into Pentecost, I was born in the fire, where folk were shouting, where folk were clapping, where folk were dancing, where men weren't afraid to lift their hands and shout hallelujah. So when I go into a Pentecostal church, if it gets too quiet, I get worried. But I need some men to raise the roof in this building. If you've been washed, if you've been delivered, all right, behave. Tell your neighbor, behave. Behave. Just sit for a second. I just, y'all sit down for a little bit here. I'm trying. I really am. I'm going to try my best. Jesus says, now, it's not the stuff that comes from outside of you that's going to defile you. This is very shocking for me, because I spent most of my time preaching against everything but ice cream and fresh air. I'm just going to tell you, I'm an apostolic preacher, and we can preach against anything. I'm telling you, I preached in places where toothpaste was a sin. Real talk. Can I keep it 100 with you? I preach it, toothpaste. Son, don't you mix with that Procter and Gamble mess. I better not mess too much. I'm telling you, I could preach against anything. But I found out somewhere along the line because of this scripture right here, it's messing with my theology just a little bit. Because according to this, it's not the mess outside so much that will defile me. But Jesus is saying to men that within us, inside of us, there are things that emanate from within us that will destroy us and defile us from within. So it's not the chick scantily clad that's walking down the road that's going to defile me. Well, I'm messing with somebody here. Because I'm minding my business in the mall, and here comes, you know, this girl that looks like a model half naked walking across the way. And, it, you know, she's really not the problem. Now, I want to blame her because demons are hell. The devil sent that demon. Look at that long-legged, beautiful demon, that demon. Oh, I mean, look at that. The blood of Jesus is against you, sexy devil, you so fine with your bad self. The blood. How the devil sent you to tempt me? In this men's conference, can I preach like this here? I just want to make sure I'm in the wrong place. Demons of hell, you Beyonce looking demon. Blonde headed, blue eyed demon, you. Tempts. Bishop Morgan, I'm telling you, there's more devils outside trying to defile me. Walking through the mall, demons of hell. In the airport, demons of hell. Come to church, guess what I found? And I'm telling you, I'd like to feel like they are the problem. Everything outside me is trying to defile me and take me down and kill me and subjugate my soul and cause me not to praise God and bring me into bondage. And then I come across this, and Jesus says, it's not stuff outside of me that's trying to kill me, but out of my own heart is coming evil thoughts, is coming adultery, is coming fornication. You want to know why? Because after the fall of man, we fell so far that we are totally depraved. And I don't need no sexy devil to defile me. I'm defiled all by myself. Coming out of my own soul. I know, I knew I wasn't going to get a whole lot of amens. Because you feel like you're so holy. But let me help somebody in this building. If it wasn't the blood of Jesus, if it wasn't the Spirit of God, if it wasn't God's word holding you back from your true potential, left to yourself. You know, the devil doesn't tempt you with what you don't want. He knows you like French vanilla. Butter pecan won't be your problem. Talk to me, somebody. If you know you like chocolate deluxe, he won't tempt you with vanilla. A man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust.
See, God told me to keep it real with you tonight. See, God is looking for some men who will be honest with themselves and can look in the mirror and say, self, you're dirty. Self, you're a mess. Self, you're nasty. Self, you need deliverance. Self, you need to take your nasty, stinking flesh and put it down on the altar and call a spade a spade. You are a mess and you know it. Come on, man. We're not just going to have another men's conference and go back to pornography and go back to adultery and go back to fornication and go back to an anger problem.
I'm going to be vulnerable with you men here tonight. Now, I'm already preached for 15 minutes. I'm going to quit. I was introduced to pornography when I was probably 9 or 10 years old. Yeah. 10 years old. I found a porn magazine. You know, they tape this stuff. You really shouldn't say all this stuff on the mic. But I'm trying to help somebody tonight. 10 years old. Man, they had every kind of porn in that magazine. It had to be the worst magazine ever created. And you know what? My flesh liked it. At 10! 10! Barely touching puberty. And that magazine excited me. 11 years old, I got a source of magazines. Now I was going through stacks of them at 11 and 12. Y'all not talking to me. Can I keep it real? At 6 years old, I was already playing Dollhouse. I don't know what you played when you played Dollhouse. I'll tell you what I was playing at 6 years old. I was playing the papa. And the girl, she was playing the mama. Y'all not helping. 6. Perversion already had me at 6. And you think you can play with your sons and your daughters now and act cute as if the devil isn't going to try to take them out? Or as if there's no sin nature in your children, the devil is a liar. You better bring your kids and baptize them in the presence of God. Somewhere along the line, there needs to be a man that stands up in this place and say, every generational curse or perversion that's trying to come down into my life is going to be break. It's going to break now. The buck stops with me. Come on, brothers. Are you going to let it go on down? I really want to preach something else. But my God, I feel the Holy Ghost trying to deliver us from things that defile a man.
My God.
Who's trying to pervert your little 5-year-old girl? Who's trying to mess with your little 5-year-old boy? You better get up in the Holy Ghost and say, devil, not in my house. Devil, not in here. Somebody needs to rebuke the enemy tonight. As a matter of fact, I feel like you ought to lift both your hands. And for about 30 seconds, you need to tell the devil to take his hands off of you. Take his hands off your family. Take his hands off your future. You might not have any kids, but you better go ahead and plead the blood of Jesus and break every curse.
It's the first night. God said, I want to get some stuff out of the way early. The only way he can release revelation is if we get some consecration in the building.
Whew. Y'all give me a few more minutes. I just, can I keep it real like this, Bishop Morgan? I don't want to get in trouble. God help us. 7 years old, I was abused by a man. Now, most preachers, they never get up on the mic and say something like that. They wouldn't say that because, you know, we're men. You know, our egos are so big. In marriage counseling, I tell women all the time, your man's primary need is respect. The woman's primary need is security. We like to be respected. We want to be respected. And sometimes we will lie to be respected. We will fake it to be respected. We'll fake it. We'll fake it with each other. Like we're all that in a bag of chips with a dip on the side. I'm so manly. I was abused by a man. You know what? I didn't feel abused then. I didn't even know what it was. Because in that man and in me, see, this is the part that folks won't say, are things that defile. And I love ladies. That's I married one of them. Praise God. Love. I'm just telling you, we need to stop fronting, stop pretending, and recognize that without the blood and without the Holy Ghost, without the Word of God, all of us would be dirt. All of us would be a mess. All of us would be perverse. All of us would be wicked. That's the very reason why we're so grateful. I don't know about you, but I'm not shocked when I see craziness happen, because sin is sin. I tell my wife, baby, I love you, but I'm not monogamous because I love you so much and you so fine. I'm monogamous because I love God. I'm monogamous because I choose God. Are y'all hearing what the preacher is saying? I'm going to heaven. I've made it up in my mind. I've turned my back on the world. The cross before me, the world behind me, and I'm not going to let nobody's booty bring me to hell. Can I preach in this men's conference like I feel? There ain't anybody's breasts that are worth me going to the lake of fire. That's why I'm standing strong, Brother Emery. Because when I look at the devil and I look at heaven, I choose heaven. I say, devil, you can keep your women. You can keep your defilement. You can keep your wicked. Brothers, so perverse was I. By the time I was 13 years old, I was already involved in sexual activity of the real kind with adults. I need you to hear me. Women that were adults, not children. I was a child. They were adults. Hooked on pornography. All my teenage years were spent in perversion. Told you I was raised in an Anglican church and I was an altar boy. So I carried the cross. I was a dude that carried the cross up, you know. You've seen Catholic church services. Somebody carrying the crucifix up. Well, in Protestant traditions, it's a cross, not a crucifix. And you're carrying that up. And if I wasn't doing that, then I was the dude with the incense. And so serving on the altar, during the Mass, in every Mass, they have a period where they recite the Our Father prayer, or they sing it. Our Father, which art in heaven. And while I was kneeling there, right about the point where it says, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, I heard a voice. Because while I was involved in all that perversion, things that defile a man, witchcraft. I had a girlfriend whose dad was a warlock who conjured up devils. I need you to hear this, preacher. To show you how God can reach you in the darkest of places. Now I was kneeling there. I heard a voice. The voice said, what are you doing? And you know, that was a crazy Anglican church, because the priest, see the thing, they believe, in the Catholic Church, they believe in a thing called transubstantiation. When the priest prays for the bread and the wine, it becomes the actual body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It cannot be discarded. Well, Anglicans don't believe in full transubstantiation, but they kind of believe in the concept that after they pray for the bread and the wine, it cannot be discarded. So the priest would drink the wine, but he couldn't drink it all. And I was always there to help. I don't care how much you dilute wine, there's enough liquor in there to make you happy. So no, you start hearing a voice, what are you doing? But it wasn't the time for wine yet. I hadn't drank the wine yet, so I was in my right mind. What are you doing? Then it said, do you know you're destroying yourself? I went home and burnt all the stacks of books of witchcraft and the occult that I had without knowing truth. God began to pull me into truth. I started reading my Bible every day. I was in high school at this point with 3 Bibles in my bag. I'm reading Bibles. People coming to me, are you crazy? What's wrong with you? At lunchtime, I start reading the Word of God, and I found out that everybody in the Word of God was baptized in water somehow. And I didn't even know the full truth. I just noticed everybody getting baptized. And then I found some people that spoke in tongues, and I said, I want that. I said, whatever I see in this book, I want that. Thank God for apostolic people. One little apostolic girl came to me and said, my pastor will baptize you. Thank God it wasn't the right one. It wasn't. And I went to an apostolic church one Sunday evening, and I was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And months later, God filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Jesus is real! But guess what? Guess what, y'all? My genitals never got the memo. Yeah, I know y'all can't bring me back here. Every time the Western District takes a chance on me, they worry. My body didn't get the memo that it wasn't supposed to react to things anymore, but it was supposed to be saved. And so pornography came my way, and my flesh still wanted to look at pornography, even though I had the Holy Ghost. Fornication was still resident in my flesh. It was something that came out of me, not something from without, but something from within. Can I preach it like I feel it? If you put a man in isolation,
he'll still find a way to sin. Am I right, Bishop? I could put a man in isolation and they'll still find a way to sin. Still find a way to have thoughts of adultery, thoughts of fornication. Still find murder in their spirit.
Tell y'all something. I know I'm delivered. You want to know how I know I'm delivered? I have a laptop with no pornography on it.
Come on. I'm telling you, God is able. You want to know how I know I'm delivered?
I mean, look at this thing. How many people in here? Let me take a little test. How many baby boomers in the house? Anybody 50 and above, put your hand up. Anybody generation X, 40 and above, put your hands up. Millennials, everybody under 40, put your hand up. And generation Y. Let me tell y'all millennials something. You came to the kingdom for such a time as this, because Brother Emery, there is no way I would have made it out of my teen years if they had devices like this when I was there. I wish I had more than one brother that could say amen. Brothers, 40 and above. When you were 15, you know this wasn't there. When you were 15, you thought you were somebody if you had a phone where you could press buttons. Baby boomers, you grew up with something that did this. Y'all not talking to me. Y'all, can I keep, it's men's conference. Tuck your neighbor and say, just relax, it's just brothers here. If you go home and show this tape to your wife, that's your fault. I ain't preached too long. Can I preach? Rotary phones. When you had rotary phones and button phones, if you called some girl that you were digging, you would say, hey, baby, how you doing? How you doing? What you wearing? You'd have to use your imagination. Y'all don't want to talk like this. But these millennials now, see, this is why the church has to be very cognizant now that we preach the right use of technology. Our elders were right. Are y'all hearing me? Our elders felt something coming down the pipe. They were preaching against ungodly entertainment years before it got ungodly. We better honor our apostolic heritage. We better thank God for prophets who could see. Because this thing here, if I had this at 15, you don't have to ask that chick, what are you wearing? Hey, baby, move the camera. There you go. How you doing? These millennials can see their temptation. Live. In real time, she or he. Because I don't know if you know that homosexuality is on the rise.
And let me just stand flat-footed right here in this apostolic church and say we still preach that only a man and a woman can produce. That's right. Homosexuality is still a sin.
Oh, Lord, I feel a prick spirit rising up on that.
Let me say it again without equivocation. In the beginning, God made one man and he made one woman, and it's still right.
But let me make it real clear, player. You're going to be right in hell beside your homosexual neighbor if you don't deal with the things that defile a man. So we can get real excited. Don't lose your shout now.
I'm telling you that hell is on an enlargement project waiting for backslidden apostolics who won't get it right with things that defile a man.
Getting ready to quit. Can you imagine, bro? You a millennial? All these kids up here? If I had to grow up with access to what I wanted like they have today, man, if I was going some kind of weird place back in the day, if I was shucking and jiving and not doing right, I had to put on shades, overcoat, hat. Where you going? The pornographic video store. No one goes to the pornographic video store anymore. There's no need to go anywhere. I can indulge my defilement now. Can I preach at the next level for a second? Now we're moving into a greater dimension of wickedness. Artificial intelligence, Bishop Mullins. Over in Asia, Bishop Morgan, your territory, where they're pioneering this type of stuff with robots that mimic real life. Where men and women no longer seek partners of the opposite sex that are real. I don't have to fight with a female if I can get a robot female who will do whatever I want. Y'all are crazy. Y'all don't understand where we're going. Pretty soon, we'll be preaching, and I got to get up in the pulpit. I'm the first one in California to do it now, to preach against artificial intelligence fornication. You're fornicating with a robot. Y'all not preaching with me. Y'all are quiet. You're committing fornication with a robot. You're having fantasy with AI. Demons of hell. God sent me here to talk about the things that defile a man. But can I tell you, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Somebody in here, you need to lift your hand and say, in the name of Jesus, I'm wrestling it down. Lift your hands and just continue lifting it for a moment. I feel the Holy Ghost. Lift your voices.
Come on, there are demons that operate through computer systems. There are demons that are wrapped around your mind. There are snakes wrapped around your mind. But what's within you is what's attracting them. There are things in you that will defile you.
God kept me, even though I was 7 and molested. I could have become a molester. Because it's the things within me that defile me. Are you hearing the preacher?
I'm saying, brothers in this room, you know what I'm talking about. Where if left to yourself, you know what I'm grateful for every day? That God Almighty would not leave me to myself. But when I really wanted to go all the way into wickedness, he said, not so, and snatch me up out of my total depravity. Now, I can walk in the mall, brothers, and that demon of hell can be walking right over there. And I talk to myself. I don't know what y'all do. I say, self, the devil is a liar. You got too much to lose, Bubba. You got your relationship with God, number one. God's blessed you with a great family. God's blessed you with a ministry. You better hear me. I feel like Brother Shatwell. I said, God, give me the spirit of discretion. I'm going to walk right up. I talk to myself and I act. I need to hear what I'm saying. It's not just, look at that demon of hell over there trying to take me out. Look at that body. Ooh, I plead the blood against that silhouette. That side profile is so evil. Did she just, is she bending over? What in the world? What kind of demon is this? Oh, no. No. When I see that demon over there, I said, the blood, and I look that way. You've got to be real about it. You've got to talk to yourself. You've got to have a made up mind that I'm living for Jesus. Is there anybody in the building that says it's too important? I'm not going to lose Jesus. I'm not going to lose my consecration. I'm not going to lose my anointing. I have to.
I'm getting ready to quit. I really am. I work with, I mean, the thing about churches is full of women. How many notice that? There's more women in church than men, which is a travesty. You know, these Orthodox Jews, there's something else. I don't know if you've ever been to an Orthodox Jewish service. I have. And, you know, it's real segregated. They keep the women away from the men. I'm beginning to wonder. But you know, over there, there's a lot of perversion, too. Rabbis going to jail for perversion. Because perversion doesn't care. You need more than a screen blocking the women from the men. Y'all better hear me. Because it's not without that's going to defile. This stuff is within. It's in here. Come here, kid. I don't know about you. I've got a son. My son, how old are you? He's 12 years old. My son is 16. And do you know that that same devil that tried to take me out wanted my boy? I don't care what you say about the rules that I set up in my house. I'm fighting for my children. Come on, apostolics. We can't be ashamed of being. Come on, holiness is right. When I look at my boy, I realize, Brother Emery, that I have to bring holiness into my home. In such a real way. And it had to start with me. Who in here can testify that God delivered you from perversion? Just put your hands up. Well, here's the shocking thing. As
much perversion as God delivered you from. It'll try to take your kids. Don't forget what you felt when you were 13. How were you struggling when you were 15? The benefit for my son is that he's raised in church. And here's the scary part. I found out that the devil doesn't care and your flesh doesn't care. And there's some stuff my kid, amen, was never exposed to in my house. But my house is not a prison. Can I talk real? My son had to go somewhere else every now and then. He had to go to school. I'm glad for all of you that homeschool, but most of your churches aren't homeschool. Talk to me, somebody. Most of our children are going to school right outside. They're going to be exposed to something. You might have a perverted uncle. You know how many family barbecues end in tragedy and you don't even know that your kid has been exposed to something, because what's inside men defile men. But I'm saying, even though that defiles a man, there's enough power in the blood. There's enough power in the Holy Ghost. There's enough power in God's word to counteract that defiling. I'm done. I need a few men to walk out here right now if you can. Only if you know that there's a generational curse that would like to take a hold of your family. But you have a made up mind that it stops with me. It's not going not one generation further. Thank you, sir. You know where I was abused, Brother Emery? At school. By a kid who didn't come to the school, Brother Morgan, that lived in the neighborhood, that was an adult. He was an adult now. I was a kid. That would come on campus. My grandma was the principal of my elementary school. So, you had to stay after school, you know, because grandma's working still. And I'm the kid, along with some of the other kids that are kids of the staff, that had to be around. So long after school is done and everybody else has gone home, there's really not much adult supervision, and everybody thinks it's safe because it's school. You hearing me? And there was a, in Jamaica, they have cane fields. This is where we grow cane, just like y'all have almond, these fields out here. In Jamaica, sugar is the main cash crop. Sugar is the cash crop, so agriculturally, sugar is a big deal. So where the school was, there was a big cane field right beside it. I'm going to say something to you that's pretty shocking now. I'm really not trying to shock you too much. It's not for shock value. I'm talking about the things that come out of a man. I wish I could tell you that this man, who was really, and when I say man, he's probably about 18 at this point. So he's still a teenager. I'm 7. I wish I could tell you, brothers, that this 18-year-old just dragged me off into the cane field and abused me. That's not what happened. Are y'all hearing the preacher? I have never been this vulnerable before on this issue. And I don't know why the Lord would have me to do it tonight. But I'm making myself vulnerable for the sake of somebody who wants to be real with God and be saved. I'm getting ready to tell you that at 7 years old,
It wasn't that man that dragged me into the cane field. It was me who was perverse enough, because I was already exposed to perversion at six. Whew. I said, hey, let's go on over into this cane field. And he was like, well, let's go on over to the cane field. And we went over to the cane field. And I allowed myself to be molested. That doesn't excuse him, don't get me wrong. Are y'all hearing the preacher? In America, that's immediate jail time. And it should be. It's pedophilia. Are you hearing the preacher? But what I'm saying is, I'll do something that some folks won't do and admit that there was enough in me already. Already. Now, I know somebody will probably say, well, you know, Brother Collins, you were just more perverse than everybody. And maybe I was. Maybe I'm the only 7-year-old who ever had a sexual thought. Maybe that thought never came to you until you were 10. Maybe it never got to you until you were 15 that you thought a sexual thought. Maybe you were never affected until you were 21. But somewhere along the line, Jesus said, there is something in you. For me, it was sexuality. For somebody else, it might have been anger, pride, foolishness. I don't know. Just talking about my personal problem to help somebody in the building. But you know, when I pray, brothers, I don't pray these little cute prayers that's designed to impress God. I'm not trying to impress God with my prayer. I'm not praying for your sake. Because you can't deliver me from my past. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. So when I get before God, I keep it real. I am naked before God. He knows where I've been. He knows who I am. He knows what I did. And so when I go to God, I want forgiveness for everything. I want forgiveness for all of it. I don't hide anything from God. I say, God, this is what's in me. It's unclean. It's perverse. It's wicked. It's dirty. It's evil. It's taking me to hell. And on this first night of men's conference, I preach long. God is saying that tonight he wants you to put everything down at this altar. He wants 100% repentance in this house, where nobody's trying to impress anybody, where none of you are trying to impress your neighbor, where you're not listening in on anybody else's prayer, where it's just you and Almighty God, where you begin to say, you know what, I don't want my children to suffer from the foolishness that was bound up in my heart. The same God that delivered me is the same God that can deliver every man. Come on, men. I wish you would open your mouth just a little bit louder. Come on, men. I wish you would ask God to wash you inside out. Come on, men. I wish you would plead the blood of Jesus over your life and over the life of your children. Late, but I wish you would stretch your hand out. Pastors, if you're in the building, I wish you would pray for your man and pray that God Almighty would help us. Written your law. God's spirit is able to fix it, brothers.
shoulder. Why don't you join with somebody? I want you to pray for a man just like you'd want them to pray for you. And tell them, God, help us, help us, help us. Help us, help us, help us, help us, help us. Help us, help us, help us, help us, help us. Pray like David. Pray like David. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Come on, ask God to give you a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within you. Man, we got to be clean. We've got to be pure. Come on, brothers. I wouldn't preach like this if sisters were here. It's because it's just us. I want you to be real. I want you to be open. I want you to be honest with God. Never let me go.
Never let me go.
If you really want him tonight, lift your hand and say, Lord, I lay it all down.
Lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire.
No one else can take the
place. Nothing can take your place.
Jesus, I want to feel the warmth of your embrace.
To feel the warmth of your embrace.
Thank you, Jesus.
Help me find my way. Bring me back to you.
Some men lift your hand and say, you're all I ever need.